Well, I hope you're doing well today, and I would invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to join me in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13 for a few moments together today. I'm sure you're well aware of this, but often the most important lessons in life that we need to learn are often challenging to learn. We learn them the hard way, or we learn them through much difficulty and often pain and all sorts of different things. But the most valuable lessons in life are really often worth going through those difficulties to arrive at understanding and greater knowledge. And that's certainly the case with what's going on in the paragraph that we're going to look at together for a few minutes today. If you know anything about the book of Philippians, you know that one of the major themes that comes out in that book is the theme of joy. And as we get to these verses, I think what they remind us of are that joyful Christians are defined by a certain level of satisfaction, hopefully high levels of satisfaction. That's part of a joyful Christian's life, is satisfaction. And the way that that comes out in Paul's wording is he's basically telling us that we need to learn to be content. And he's telling that, he's commanding that even as he models it. And so we want to look at that together today. God wants you to practice contentment. And really doing so isn't so much an option, but a command. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told to be content with the things that we have there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. So basically, we want to look for just a few moments today. How can I have a contented life? How can I live that way? God wants you to learn the mystery or the secret of contentment. And according to Scripture, the passages that we're looking at, contentment actually is a secret. It's a mystery of sorts that most people actually never learn or understand. They go throughout their whole life and basically never reach the shores of true contentment. But actually you can, and I can. Paul did. He says in our verses that he says, I have learned to be content. Look at this text with me. Philippians chapter 4, I'll read verses 10 to 13. Paul writes, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you have no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul says there, I have learned to be content. I have learned the secret, he says. And as we look at these verses, I look forward to someday actually preaching through this passage in more detail, but do want to highlight a few things, and would just even ask you, as you look at your life or the people around you, what are the realms that it's just a struggle to be content in your personal life? Maybe if you were to pick the big three in your life right now, where are you struggling to be content? As you look at your family members, your friends, the people of society, where are they struggling to be content? Well, there are lots of realms. I actually picked up a book a few years back. Actually, back when I was in university, I was talking to a pastor friend who was a bit of a mentor in my life, and we were talking about contentment. I don't know if it was because I was really struggling with it at the time. It probably was. I don't remember. Or if I wanted to preach on it or something like that. But he recommended a book to me by the Puritan Thomas Watson called The Art of Divine Contentment. And I remember reading that book, and it helped me immensely. But along the way in that book, Thomas Watson mentions several areas or realms where we may struggle to be content, things that people might say. Let me just give you a bunch of the ones he's listed. A person might say, I have lost a child. It was my only child. Or I have a great part of my estate melted away. Or it is sad with me and my relations, my family and my friends. Or my child is in rebellion. Or my husband takes ill courses. Ladies, you ever just shake your head and wonder, what is your husband doing? Why won't the guy just change? Or my friends have dealt very unkindly with me. Or I am under great reproaches. or I have not esteem from men, people don't view me highly, or I meet with great sufferings for the sake of the truth, or the wicked prosper, or the evils of the times, or the times are full of problems and sin. Or he also mentions the lowness of my parts and gifts. I think what he's referring to there is a person's body physically and how God fashioned and made them, and then their abilities and talents and skills. He mentions the troubles of the church, and my sins could disquiet and discontent me. He just gives us this huge list to kind of get our minds going. What is it for you? And kind of having thought about some of those things, let's just consider for a moment, what does it mean to genuinely learn to be content and to own and master its subject matter for yourself? Well, to genuinely learn contentment, the scope is so broad. Paul says in every situation he's learned to be content there in verse 11, I believe it is. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whatever situation. Contentment should become a habitual way of life. And we're going to pass this course of learning contentment with flying colors. But we learn from verse 12 as well that learning contentment takes place actually in the school of life. How do we learn this? Well, we learn it as we journey through life and all sorts of things come our ways. The secret or mystery of contentment is something to be learned through the teaching and experience provided by the school of life. That's what verse 12 is really having to say there. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. If you would learn contentment, you've got to be a scholar. And God knows precisely what scenarios to bring into your life so that you can learn this art, this mystery, this secret of contentment. And you're going to learn that sometimes through poverty and sometimes through prosperity. You notice the difficulties Paul describes there in verse 12. He knew trouble, pain, and difficulty. But on the flip side of that, he knew prosperity. You see blessings in Paul's life in verse 12. You know, the blessed man often struggles to be content just as much as the impoverished man. You may have much, but you want more. You may have barns, but you want greater barns. And God wants you to learn, whether you're in a difficult time or a great prosperous time, he wants you to learn the art of contentment. I think about this much like a pocket watch. You imagine an old pocket watch. When I was a boy, I had a little Walmart pocket watch that I thought was pretty cool with the chain. What if you took an antique pocket watch? And you took that watch, and maybe you and I are standing 20 feet apart, and I say, hey, check out my cool pocket watch from my grandfather. I take it out of my pocket, undo the chain from my belt, put that in my hand, and I throw it 20 feet across the room to you, and you catch it. And we compare time, the time on my watch to the time on that pocket watch, and we realize that even though that watch was thrown from the air, it was tossing and turning this way and that way, it never skipped a beat. It never failed to account for a single second. The time stayed dead on, even though it was thrust and thrown through the air. And I think that's the goal with contentment, that even though we may be thrown through life, as it were, and we may be spinning and tossing and turning by all of life's circumstances, that we never miss a beat in our satisfaction and contentment, because it's anchored to something else, not to the situation. I think we need to note as well that genuine learning differs from mere instruction. It's one thing to learn, and it's another thing to be instructed. And anybody who's a teacher gets this. You could spend hours in front of your students instructing them, and they not really learn. Paul says, I wasn't just instructed. God didn't just bring me through the school of life teaching me. He says, I learned. I picked up what was being put down. He says, I learned in verse 11 and 12. He says, I know. You can be instructed. It's an entirely different thing to learn. And in a moment, we'll try to talk about how do you know if you're learning. I believe that verse 13 unveils before our eyes really the mystery, that we need to learn. Paul tells us the secret, actually. He reveals for us how we can actually learn to be content. But you can't just take Paul's word for it. You got to learn it for yourself, as do I. What is the source of contentment? It's Jesus Christ. Paul learned contentment through a relationship. And I think that is what verse 13 is all about. We've taken this verse to, and we've applied it to lots of things, but in its context, it relates to contentment. Paul says, I can do all things through him that strengthens me. What does Paul mean in the context there? I can do all things. Well, it relates to contentment. I think he's saying, I can be content in all situations, the ones he just described, through him who strengthens me, or in him who strengthens me. Contentment stems from a living, abiding union with Jesus Christ. That's what happens when a person becomes saved. They're united to Jesus. And Paul's saying it's through that union, through my relationship with Jesus Christ, that I can do all things. I can be content in every circumstance. God wants you to look nowhere else but Jesus for your contentment. Paul was not looking to the Philippians or giving them credit for his contentment. He was giving it to the Lord. Christ made him content. How do you know if you're learning contentment? If you're learning contentment, you'll be treasuring Jesus increasingly more and more and more. And in fact, I think you could kind of put Jesus and whatever it is that you want side by side and ask, what's more important to me? The more important whatever is to you, probably the less important Jesus is. And the more important Jesus is, the less all these other things matter. And if you can cultivate your relationship with Jesus and find yourself more and more and more satisfied in him, the things of life won't matter that much. And that's really, I think, the litmus test. If you're learning contentment, are you treasuring Jesus? And again, this is not something that we just naturally, this is our default. Paul said, I have to learn this. And that'd be true for you, that'd be true for me. We have to learn to treasure Jesus above all else and to find our satisfaction in him so that we can say like Paul, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's about Jesus and the strength that he provides through my relationship with him. I hope that relationship is growing. I hope you're finding yourself increasingly more satisfied in him and looking less to the circumstances of life, the things of life, to bring you ultimate joy, satisfaction, and peace. Anyways, I hope that helps you. I know I love this text, and hopefully someday we can look at it together in greater detail. I'm praying for you, and I love you all, and hope that you'll have a great, satisfying day in Jesus Christ.